now for our scripture reading. This is Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who has come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke out boldly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. When some stubbornly refused to believe and spoke evil of the way before the congregation, he left them, taking the disciples with him, and argued daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord.
As we come to the end of our summer family worship series, and all of the journey that we have been on, and all of our talk about journeys of faith, I was thinking about this particular week and the journey we're all on as fall approaches. Our kids are on a journey, our teachers, as the start of a new school year. Eric and I, like I said, are empty nesters, and so that's a new chapter. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing quite yet. The jury is out, as they say. We're all looking forward to fall kickoffs. Ours will be on September the 12th, and we're going to have the contemporary service move from Saturday night to Sunday at 11. So that'll happen, and we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the start of our confirmation class. And the information session about that is today, right here. And if you're not here in the place, contact Jen Rowell and she'll bring you up to speed on that. We've got launching of fall Bible studies and all kinds of ways to grow and love and serve. And it got me to thinking about that Dr. Seuss book that's given to many a graduate, "Oh, the Places You'll Go." Dr. Seuss makes it seem like it's all up to us, you know. He talks about brains in your head and feet in your shoes, and you can steer yourself any direction you choose, that sort of thing. That's true to a point, but whenever we embark on a new adventure in life, a journey, it's not all exciting. It's also got scary parts, and we get to make some decisions, but we don't really know everything. We don't know what we don't know, right? And we're not really left completely to our independent devices. As people of faith, we know that our journeys are not just about us. It's about more than just what we want for ourselves. Our journeys are a lot about helping God get what God wants and being a part of that. Our journeys are about God sending us often to places we don't want to go. God equipping us for everything we need for the journey, even when we don't think so. God providing, and then God coming alongside us. We get to make all kinds of important choices, and we have free will, and God can work with all of our crazy choices. He's done it in my life to bring about blessing and growth and change. But the journey itself seems to be God's idea. I don't know about you, but to my knowledge, I had no say in the matter of my birth. And I don't know the number of days on this side of eternity I will be granted. But I know that my journey and our journey belongs to God. In the words of poet Mary Oliver, she asks, "What will you do with your one wild and precious life?" That's the journey. And God has a stake in it. God created us all in God's image without asking us first. God called Abram to go to the land which he would be shown. Jesus said, go, make disciples of all nations. I don't recall him asking. If we can go wherever we choose on the school bus of life, the fact of the journey seems like God's idea. I'm comforted by the fact that God packs our metaphorical backpacks with a great big love note called Scripture. Sort of like your daddy loves you, written in many, many words. In the backpack is the school lunch of the Eucharist, of Holy Communion, that so that we won't grow weary on the journey. And in there we have all kinds of tools to use to build up the church, to share the love of Jesus, to be a blessing to our neighbors. Looking at the kids and youth in the house and at home. Maybe God has given you a love for art, or music, or math, or science, a heart for service, a love for animals and nature. All those gifts are in our backpacks for the places we will go. So if we're going to end our series on the journey, it makes sense to look at the Apostle Paul, because Paul put in more miles, put in more shoe leather for Christ than any other person that has probably ever existed. He started out on a journey, you might recall. He was born Saul. He was a Pharisee, a Jew among Jews, and his job was to persecute Christians. He held the cloaks of the people who stoned Stephen. And God redirected him in a mighty way. God needed him and his gifts on a different road. On the road to Damascus, Saul encountered Jesus Christ in a vision, and Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Jesus got his attention by taking his sight away and sent him to learn the way of Christ, and he got his sight back. Don't miss the metaphor. I once was blind, but now I see, right? His name was changed to Paul, and he had a new road to travel, and he became the traveler of all travelers for Christ. He brought the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles, to the nations, to non-Jews everywhere. If you're a Christian today, and you were not born in the Jewish faith, you have Paul to thank for that. You can trace it all back to him. Paul told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on and so on. So if Paul were here today, and he knew it was the last in this sermon series, I was wondering what some of his final advice might be for us on the journey with the Lord and with one another. One of the first things I think Paul would remind us is basically what we've been talking about so far, that we are on a journey, but it's not for our own sake. It is on God's behalf. Certainly, Paul's experience on the Damascus Road made that crystal clear. He would have sung along to the lyrics we sang recently. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself away. Paul is the one who reminds us that we, the church, that means you and me, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we are ambassadors for Christ. Wherever we go, whatever our task, we are there as agents for Christ. On the road to Jericho, first aid kit in hand, looking for people stuck in ditches. That's our job. We are sent in Christ's name. The second thing I think Paul would affirm is that we are all given gifts for God to use in building up the body of Christ. Paul was an A student in any way you could measure it. He had a lot of gifts. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a Roman citizen. God used both those things so that he could talk to people in the synagogue, and he could talk to people in the square, and he could talk and speak truth to power. You might say he spoke Republican and Democrat, although I don't know which one's which in my little weak metaphor. God can use and will use anything about us for God's good purposes to bless someone else. God can use hard childhoods. God can use master's degrees. God can redeem our pain and use it for someone else's healing. God used Paul's time in jail to convert the jailer. Whatever gifts we're given, God wants to use and can use and will use if we let him, to love, save, heal, and free. He writes, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might win some." So the first thing, the journey, our journey, is God's idea. We're sent in Christ's name. Second, we are given gifts on the journey for God to use during our wild and precious life, during our brief span on this earth, to bless others. The third thing that Paul understood is that God is actively with us on the journey. There's this bit about his interaction with the disciples, and that he says, "Well, what kind of baptism did you get? Were you baptized?" And they say, "Oh yeah, we got John's baptism. We're with John. We're in the John Club." Paul understood that the Holy Spirit is the entity that matters. It's not about any one person in the body of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that binds us all together. We are all baptized into Christ, into his death, into his suffering, and into his resurrection. It's not about John. It's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Mandy. It's not about any one person. It's about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the thing that makes the church a church, and not just a social club. The Holy Spirit is how God acts in the here and now. So our faith should be on fire because of the Holy Spirit. The last thing I think Paul would affirm is that the journey will not always be easy. This isn't Paul's first journey to Ephesus. Did you notice? It seemed like a pretty typical day, right, in his life. You know, got up, had coffee, met some disciples, talked about baptism, baptized them, you know, went to lunch. Look at what he did. He spoke out about Christ in the synagogue for 3 months. And some applauded and some walked out. Some even tried to kill him. I don't know about you, but there have been a couple times when I have spoken from the pulpit, and some applauded and some walked out. Nobody tried to kill me yet. The journey can be hard, but we have to keep going. Paul did not give up. When he left the synagogue, he went to the lecture hall. That's where the pagans and the Greeks and the academics were. And he spoke to non-Jews and whoever would listen for 2 years. And some applauded and some walked out. Paul brought the gospel to Jews and non-Jews and everyone else. And his journeys featured lots of great fruit and many people who followed Jesus because of him. But there was jail time and beatings and shipwrecks and financial woes, but still he pressed on. So I think his word to us about our journey, about our one wild and precious life, would certainly include not to give up. He would be so proud of our resilient church and teachers and children and youth. He would say, as he did to the church at Galatia, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. If we what? If we do not give up." The last thing I'd want to share with you today is that our journeys are not solo, and they are for sharing. Our journeys are not like one of those video games you play on your phone where you just play against the computer over and over. Our journeys are for sharing with one another. Paul documented his journey by writing these letters to the churches, and the churches kept them, and the compilers of our scripture held on to those records so that we have a record of Paul's journeys and his doubts and his faith and his questions. I mean, the things Paul wrestled with are still coming up at church council meetings. You know, it's kind of handy to know. It hasn't just happened this first time. And because he shared his journey, Paul continues to convert and persuade and comfort and challenge to this day. Our journeys are for sharing. When we join a small group or a Bible study, we bring with us our entire journey. We testify to God's faithfulness. We bring our doubts and our fears. When someone in a small group shares about a difficult doctor's appointment or a health challenge, someone else in that group is going to say, "I have been there. I will walk with you." We can put an arm around a brother or sister in trouble because we know how they feel. We can share what we know of God by helping people along the journey. So many ways to do that at Glenmar. One great way is to help with Christian education, help with our children and with our youth. You know, they're going their journey too. And if we're a little further along, we can share our journey with them and support them and be a blessing. And we might just find they're a bigger blessing to us. We share our journey by saying yes to being in ministry at Glenmar through helping, being a friend in faith for confirmation, helping with our worship, tech, or music ministries, serving our neighbors, maybe helping on stewardship or finance or trustees. And if you've been blessed by being a part of a Bible study, maybe your next faithful step on the journey looks like facilitating one. If you were blessed in your youth group, in whenever that happened to be, maybe your next step is to sow into the life of our youth today. That's what the community of faith is for, to remind us that we're not on the journey alone. Christians often, and this will surprise you, we get a bad rap in society. And many people stay away from church because they think Christians are some of the most unloving people around. Ironic, because love is our thing, right? I'm reminded of that Gandhi quote who said, "I really like your Christ. I don't so much like your Christians because they're not so much like your Christ." Okay, maybe that's a paraphrase, but you get the idea. Part of what it means to share the journey is to say, we can be living, walking billboards, okay? Facebook ads, if you don't know what a billboard is. For Jesus, for what Christianity is like. We are the only gospel many people will ever read. We can show what a Christian is and how we love and how we resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. We can put our arm around someone and say, "You know, I used to think my worth was dependent on things outside myself. Then I started thinking, I wonder what I'm going to do with my one wild and precious life. I found myself asking, you know, is this all there is? And I found out there's this guy, Jesus, who calls me to store up treasures in heaven through generosity and through service, and that I want to dedicate my one wild and precious life to being on the journey with someone bigger than me, with a mission that's about love and healing. Oh, church, the places you'll go. But it's not all up to you, to your own brains and your own feet. Jesus is Lord, friends, over this life and the next. And God has told you, O mortal, what is good. As we read in Scripture, do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God together. So go. Go on the journey you are called to take. We are going with you. Maybe that's into the next academic year. Maybe that's a journey into a hospital or the assisted living place or the doctor's appointment or the Zoom meeting or the courtroom or the kitchen. Wherever you go, God is with you on the journey, and we are called to take the next faithful step together. Oh, the places we'll go together. Amen.